Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
UK Podcast. UK Podcast. UK Tech Weekly. Tech Weekly Podcast. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here together to celebrate the union of tech and chat in this confetti-strewn
Google Special
edition of the UK Tech Weekly Podcast, the UK's most deplorable weekly tech podcast, read out once a week like the banns of a marriage that never happens. The UK Tech Weekly Podcast is an infotainment haircut styled by the editors of PC Advisor, Tech World, Macworld UK and Computer World UK. Every Friday, we sign up to an audio baking contest, showing off our audio tarts, parading our audio buns, and desperately trying to avoid soggy audio bottoms in order to bring you no more than 40 minutes of informed chat on the hot tech topics of the past 7 days. And please don't forget to subscribe, review, and tell your friends. We can't wait to get started, so allow me to present your trio of chatters for this week. And because I want to capture the commercially valuable millennial demographic, I'm going to do this using the language of emoji. Passive-aggressive smiley face, David Price. Acting editor of Macworld UK, that one is me. Political water pistol, Christopher Manassians. Staff writer on PC Advisor and Macworld.
Hello.
Hello. And suggestive aubergine, Henry Burrell, who is also staff writer on those esteemed publications.
Pleasure to be here.
This week we're talking Google, more Google, and Pokemon. Booyakasha!
Google Special! Google Special! Google Special!
Henry Burrell.
Yeah.
What went down in Google Town last night? Well, no, I shouldn't say last night. This week.
This week. Yeah, you're breaking down the illusion that we do.
I'm breaking down the fourth wall.
You are. cool. Yeah, so Google made a big song and dance about their latest unveiling, their big event. It's probably the biggest one they've had for a few years.
They said it was the biggest one since Android.
Yeah, they said that at the beginning. A lot of people here got excited about that, but I mean, it was Google saying that.
Yeah.
But I mean, there was a lot going on, so we've got quite a lot to get through and to cover it all, basically.
that's really going to pique the listener's interest.
Hold on, listener. It's going to be good.
It's going to be a slog.
So I think to most people would have seen this as a phone launch event, and that's what it was primarily. The event itself was about an hour, 20 minutes, something like that. And they started off by talking about software, which is always the sexiest way to start a presentation. and they're talking a lot about the Google Assistant, which is their AI. They were saying that the CEO of Google was saying how the world has moved into mobile first, and then Google is quite boldly saying it's now AI first, which isn't as catchy. Maybe not as true, but Google wants it to be true, and that's kind of the point of many of these.
Well, they always
products.
Want to get out ahead of the next big trend. And we have been hearing a lot about AI and machine learning.
We have.
This year.
I'm quite pessimistic about it.
But of course you are. You always are.
It's a healthy thing to be. Not for me, but for my opinions. The headline, I still think the headline is Google Pixel. It's their new smartphone range. So
it's making these itself.
It is indeed. They did the old hashtag made by Google.
Made. So is that because his first mention of Apple?
Yeah.
Apple. Their slogan is always designed by Apple in California.
Right. Yeah.
Because I mean, you could strictly say that they don't actually make their own iPhones. I'm assuming that Google also is not actually going to make these phones. Won't they ship it off to some hellish factory
Asia. Yeah, no, there's not lots of, you know, tech guys sitting around with lattes putting these phones together. But of course it's outsourced. But I think the difference, the the contrast they're making here is that before they had the Nexus brand and all these devices, tablets and phones were...
It's HTC that designed those for it.
Well, we're not sure. So Nexus phones were always, they always had like a Huawei stamp or HTC or LG or whatever, and the company was, it was made aware. This time, we thought that they'd been made by HTC, but Google has said they were designed in-house by Google. And these are, this is hardware as well as software just from them.
Yep.
So they've kind of killed off the Nexus brand.
Is that going to be mourned? Will we miss the Nexus brand?
Well, personally, I don't think so. I think it's a good logical step forwards, because essentially they've done what Apple did back in the days. They were, I would say, a software-based company and moved into hardware. And this was back in the days of Apple, but now they've a lot of people see Apple as the iPhone and the iPad and the Mac. Absolutely. They don't see it as a software company, but it is fundamentally still a software company. And I think this is exactly what Google is doing. And when they try to build up the hype, what they're trying to do, in my opinion, is it might not look like it, but when you will look back a couple of years' time, you'll think, actually, Google is now constantly producing phones every year. That's I think that's what they will do,
that's
just like Apple.
Plan is for this to be its main product almost.
Because they've already got the tablet, the Pixel tablet, and then now they've got a phone. Then what's going to come next? You're going to have some wearables, and just what's really interesting here is that how does this compete with its own not just its own manufacturers, its third party manufacturers like Samsung and HTC, which are the ones which drove Android to where it is right now.
Well, so let me stop you there. So you've brought out a whole series of things I want to talk about today. So first of all, what is the advantages of making the hardware and the software? Why does Apple do that already, and why is Google doing that now?
Well, one thing that struck me last night watching the show was that maybe they did, but they didn't really say Android throughout the whole thing. The whole thing was like, even though they're talking about all the supposed innovations in AI that they're putting on their handset and in their software, they kind of mentioned software at the beginning, and then they talked about the hardware, and I don't think they mentioned that it was even Android. It was just like,
maybe it runs iOS. Windows.
More people would buy it if it ran iOS. But I think, it was just like assumed they were talking about all the new ways that the Google Pixel, and they kept saying Google Pixel is used, but they didn't really say Android operating system. But it looks to be a sort of tweaked but pure Android experience.
Yeah.
And I think as tech journalists, we were hoping for the long rumored OS that was sort of codenamed Andromeda. And we thought that might be like a mix of Chrome OS on desktop with Android. But that did not happen. The only hardware, phone-wise and tablet-wise or laptops, it was just a Pixel. Everything else that we will talk about in a sec followed on.
Is Andromeda still on the cards?
We don't really know.
Do we have any sort of solid reason why we think that's going to happen?
From my point of view, I think Chromebooks probably aren't selling quite as well as Google thought they would or hoped they would. This is a strange part of the market where it's people locked into Google's walled garden, and I think that's kind of what Google was doing last week, whatever. like with iOS, if you really are locked into Apple's ecosystem, for want of a better word, I know it's a bit cringy, you can't really get out. But people don't mind that, and I think yesterday was Google kind of setting up that way for them and their customers. Because at the moment, like, I use an Android phone, but I use a Mac, and it doesn't seem to be a problem. But I can see that if I got a Pixel and was fully using all of Google's services, it would be quite hard if I wanted everything integrated to use a Mac.
So you think part of the advantage of having both then is that it's having this sort of let's say ecosystem, the sealed ecosystem to keep people inside. Are there advantages in terms of the experience, though? I mean, for the user, is it better to have something which is designed end-to-end by Apple?
Google. Well, I was just going to say on that point that during their own presentation, despite them taking loads of digs at Apple, which I found quite funny, like headphone jack still included, they did make aware that it was... There were certain products that they launched that they also said available on iOS as well.
They did, yeah.
And they even said with the Pixel phone, we've included a dongle within the phone that allows you to transfer all your data, contacts and everything from your iOS device to your Pixel phone. Now, I don't know how that will work in terms of Apple.
This is quick switch adapter, right?
That's it.
This is really interesting to me because and again, I'm looking at the Apple angle. The Apple launched an app called Move to iOS, which interestingly enough, is an Android app. Somehow Google approved this. Presumably the thinking was people will just sideload it anyway because it's quite easy to do that.
Yeah.
But you install
probably
paid
that, them a lot of money as well.
Yeah, maybe. But you install that on your Android device, and then it does all the migration for you.
Yeah.
I don't know how. I'm looking again at the name. Quick Switch Adapter is going to work. Is that going to be an iOS app? Surely Apple would never approve that.
I don't know. The thing which would be quite interesting is, well, about that approval thing, that brings a whole different question. I mean, you've got competition laws. I don't know how that works. Like, if Apple are blocking an app for people switching over, then surely there's some sort of law which says you're not allowed to do that because it's the freedom of choice when a person purchases a product. It should be their choice to do whatever they want with the product.
You remember when they took the YouTube app off the App Store for quite a while?
Yeah.
You'd think there might have been some competition implications for that. Not that we're suggesting any impropriety, of course. But
I mean, you had the same thing with Google Maps being the default maps, and then you had Apple Maps, and then Google Maps, Apple Maps.
I still like Google Maps.
But I mean, yeah.
I think most, Apple Maps is getting
better.
But I mean, that was a different, because that was like a... Here's our own product as a replacement. Whereas if they're blocking an app for you transferring your data over, that could not only be Google, it could be anything. It could be just transferring to your PC, for example, if you want some data. So
yes, like you say, Christopher, it's interesting to see how they were comparing themselves to Apple and taking digs at them.
Yeah.
Like when they were showing the Pixel phone, the guy kind of smirked and went, and there's no unsightly camera bump.
Yeah.
And waited for his laugh from the audience. And there isn't one, but like it doesn't actually really matter. But what I thought was... What interested me was they made these digs, and then they were kind of quite cocksure about the way they were saying, and when you switch to Pixel, we've stuck this in the box. It wasn't like if you move from iOS. They were just like, when you switch, you can have it.
You think they should have been a bit more sort of, well, maybe please you'll switch, maybe you won't.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, I noticed it.
One of our colleagues always winds me up by complaining about Apple being very positive in their presentations. And I always say, what exactly would you expect?
Of course they're going
to be full of it.
But I mean, if we're taking the line of comparing themselves to Apple, what I thought was really interesting was the pricing of these phones. Mm. Personally, I thought they would be cheaper.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I think generally because Nexus devices have been more affordable than the current flagship iPhone, but it's exactly the same price as the iPhone in the UK.
So this seems like madness.
In the US, it's $649. But in the UK, it starts at £599. So the iPhone 7 32 gig will cost £599, as will the base Pixel. And then they have that's a 5-inch phone, 5.5-inch. You can see how that's quite like the iPhone as well.
So the basic Pixel is a bit bigger than the
A little bit bigger, 7. Yeah. It's a 5-inch, and then 5.5-inch for the what's called the Pixel XL. And that's £719, which is the same price as the 7 Plus.
They really are shooting for Apple, aren't
they? I really think they missed a trick over here, because I think as Henry pointed out yesterday when we were all chatting about the event as it was taking place, Henry rightfully said, this price won't get your average Joe consumer to switch over to this phone from their Apple device. However, if it was a lot cheaper, let's say £150 cheaper... You've also got Samsung phones. People are like, well, should I trust this Google phone? Like, it looks good, but Google have never made the phone. This is the first phone they're putting out on the market. Should I trust it? It is Google, but people will go
people mostly,
Samsung,
yeah,
Apple.
Have that level of brand awareness of Google. I don't think most people realize that their phone, I mean, maybe this is patronizing, but I think a lot of people don't realize that they run Android.
No,
they just
you're
go,
right.
This is my Samsung.
Yeah.
And that's their whole level of awareness of branding.
And even if they say Android... Most people won't associate that with Google.
Yeah, they don't call it Google Android very often.
Yeah.
Really. It's just a separate brand.
It runs Android. And like, okay, well, what is Android?
Yeah.
How did Android get here?
Exactly.
So I think Henry was right when he was saying this during the event, that I think it's too expensive. And I think we all share pretty much the same.
But expensive outright. But I mean, they've also got two exclusive partners in the UK, EE and Carphone Warehouse are the only...
Carphone,
the only place they'll stock it at the moment. So I presume, having worked in retail myself, they will be hammering those poor people on the floor to upsell this to people who maybe are sitting on the fence. Because I've got friends who, like, I saw a friend the other day and he had a Huawei phone. And even though I'm aware of it, I was like, why do you have a Huawei phone? Because like, I'd have never seen anyone who doesn't work in tech with one. He was like, oh, the guy just sold it really well to me. And it was quite honest of him. So I think Google might be relying on that. But just to bring it on slightly... What the other thing they stuck in this phone, which has been out for a few weeks already on the Google Allo app is Google Assistant. And this is kind of where bringing in the theme.
They called it the Google Assistant, which I found really odd. Like when they called Batman the Batman.
The Batman.
In the Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's it good about Google Assistant? How is it different to Google Now? Was the last one? Google Voice Search?
Yeah. It's different in that they're saying it's tailored to you. So it's saying sort of all the Google Assistant will kind of learn you. And it was implying better than maybe Siri or Amazon's Echo. And all those kind of other voice assistants that people don't use.
None of those have exactly exemplary track records.
No, exactly.
Learning, so.
I think this is why they were hammering on AI, is because, well, first of all, Google Assistant is built in and integrated throughout the OS, whereas Siri is a separate app, as far as I'm aware, it's a separate app, and you have to tap on the home button in order to open up Siri to do your tasks. Whereas with Google Assistant, you can open it up in no matter what app it is. I don't know how it'll work with third-party apps, but they said it'll work with WhatsApp and Viber, things like that. So it will be up to the developers of these apps to integrate Google Assistant. But in other words, you can open Google Assistant if you're watching a YouTube video, if you're browsing the web, on your home screen, whatever it is.
Will it have to connect online?
Yeah, I mean, presumably that in order to actually work properly, then you would need it to connect online, but you could do phone search.
They kind of brought it back again to how Google's been building up a huge fountain of knowledge through its search engine, basically. They kept quoting 50 billion facts. That's the figure they kept saying. And I'm really annoyed, I can't remember what they kept calling it. They kept calling this something. It was something like the knowledge graph. I think it might have been that, which was a little bit... Yeah, lame. But
I thought it was weird because on the Guardian's coverage of this event, they sort of really ostentatiously call Google the search company at the top of the article. And I was thinking, you just made yourself sound really old-fashioned because it hasn't been a search company for years.
Yeah.
And yet, the way that they're presenting Google Assistant is almost like they're leveraging, to use a horrible word, their database.
I think it's kind of the point, though, isn't it? I think the paper like the Guardian might be writing to an audience that's still perceives Google to be a search company.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, maybe that's a PR effort to try and make people more aware of what's happening. The one thing I did like about the system was it's, and again, maybe I'm falling for the PR here, but there was claim that it was more conversational than some of its rivals. Yeah. So this guy did a quite cool demo, and you could tell that it was live because it actually misheard him and spelled something wrong. So it wasn't sort of pre-set up. But you can, as Christopher was saying, it takes you into OpenTable. He booked dinner for him and his wife near somewhere, and then he just asked Google Assistant how far it took for him to get from dinner to the gig, and it did it all pretty quickly. It's kind of tying it all together, and it sort of builds on the information you've said to it, rather than something like Siri, perhaps, if you said to Siri, I don't know, where is that restaurant? And then if you said to it, maybe next week, where is the restaurant I went to last week? It might not remember.
Siri's not good at... I don't know what the word you use for that. Is it semantic?
Stalking. Because that's the problem. That's the barrier to some people fully embracing these technologies is what is the privacy implication?
Yeah, so this is a big question as well. Because if you have a company like... there's three main players in this space, I guess. There's Apple, there's Amazon, and there's Google. Apple has got a very good track record on privacy. It's had this publicised battle with the FBI to protect the privacy of the poster child for somebody that most people would have said, give up the data. But no, they were saying, absolutely not. Amazon has, I would say, in most people's view, a good reputation for looking after data because people willingly give it up and they say, I don't mind you predicting what I'm going to buy. Mm-hmm. Google, I'm not so sure because it's got kind of a track record of yielding to all law enforcement requests. It's done various shady stuff. It has a very low rating with all privacy organizations. Are you going to want Google, of all companies, with its tendrils in every aspect of your life, to be storing this information, to be listening to you? And this, I guess, brings us on to the speaker. What's the speaker called?
Google Home.
Google Home. Mm. It's going to be listening to you all day long. Mm. This raises all sorts of issues.
Yeah. I mean... Amazon Echo just came out recently as well, and that listens to you by default unless you manually mute it. And you can have the option on that product to manually go into your logs and delete.
I always manually go into my logs.
It's the best way.
Sorry. So, you're better than that. I should have done that.
It's all right. Yeah, so Google Home, it's a little sort of chic-looking speaker thing that you put in your home. Annoyingly, for probably most of our UK listeners, it is not out in the UK.
Yeah.
It is US only, $129, which is a shame because that's quite a good price for what it does. And what it is just a hub that you stick in your home, and you can do Google search, because obviously it's a search company, control third-party devices, like if for all those people out there who have smart lights and thermostats and stuff like that.
Yeah, the Internet of Things hasn't really arrived yet, has it?
No. I think it will involve signing your life away to Google before it can happen. And you can play and search music, set alarms, do shopping lists and stuff, you know, things humans haven't been able to do for centuries. But I don't know, it was quite cool.
Did it seem accurate? You said that the assistant, was it on the phone, made the mishearing?
Yeah, it made the mishearing, but just because the guy had quite a Western drawl. But
everybody has an accent. I mean,
exactly.
I'm not sure.
You kind of have to enunciate, don't you? You are talking to a machine at the end of the day. The thing that is a small point, but the thing that impressed me the most was actually how Google Home integrated with the Chromecast that they had. It was slightly, I'll come on to this in a minute, it was slightly confusing how they worked together. But the guy just said, oh, play the Shakira song from Zootopia. And obviously he picked one that would definitely work. But it was clever enough to go to YouTube and find the song.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
That she did for that soundtrack and play it straight away.
That seems like quite a risky thing to do in a live demo as well.
Yeah, unless that bit wasn't live. But I think that the other thing that I wasn't actually aware of, they kept referring to you get a free trial of YouTube Red.
Yeah.
Which is must be a high quality.
Well, YouTube Red is just basically it was a 6-month free trial. Usually it's subscription based, and it is essentially a way of watching YouTube or listening to YouTube without ads. You can download the music. It's basically a combination of what YouTube, Spotify, I would say Apple Music is, all combined into one. And that is what YouTube Red is. Some YouTubers are going into it because I think it works a bit like Twitch. You get subscription based and then you get paid on that. But the reason they were pushing it out is because in order to really, I'd say, benefit from Google Home, you could say Google Assistant within Google Home, the Chromecast, it's best if you had something like YouTube Red, and that's why they want to say, hey, have a 6-month free trial, see what you think of it, and then try living without it, but realistically you're going to subscribe to us anyway. It's one of Google's newer products and something they've tried to almost say prolong the life of.
Yeah, I thought it was weird at first. He did mention it again that they weren't pushing Google Play Music, which would have made more sense for me, but obviously it works better with the YouTube app in this instance.
They just try everything, don't they, Google? They throw is a word I can't use, but they throw everything at the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah, I mean, well, Google Home, it literally will be a hub in your home, but also I kind of saw it, this is how I scrolled all my notes down anyway, it's kind of a hub for their other products. So Google Home sits in the home. They were also introducing Google Wi-Fi. I would boldly say that most people just have one Wi-Fi router in their home that they get from their provider.
Yeah,
I wish my home was big enough that I needed more than one.
I have an extender.
Oi, oi. So yeah, they also push in Google Wi-Fi. Again, this is only in the US at the moment, but they was kind of suggesting that if you've got Google Home and you live in the hills or whatever and you've got like seven bedrooms, that you need Google Wi-Fi, which is sold for one router itself costs $129, which to me, for most consumers, is still a barrier.
It's quite expensive.
And then three for $299.
Yeah.
But it uses mesh Wi-Fi, which, without getting too nerdy, is more intelligent than regular Wi-Fi that you'll get with your TalkTalk box or whatever. That just basically shoots Wi-Fi signals out willy-nilly.
I thought you were going to get really technical there.
No, I don't know the right word
shoots
for this.
Shoots it out willy-nilly.
Think of it like a blunderbuss, right? It just shoots it everywhere. But
a blunderbuss of information.
Indeed. That's how we roll. But then Google Wi-Fi uses mesh Wi-Fi, which is it's more directional. It will intelligently select the best path to the devices that are requesting the signal. So it can like bend around walls, a bit like lasers.
Although, if I'm not mistaken...
I think lasers can bend. Anyway, go on.
I was going to say, if I'm not mistaken, that already exists through other Wi-Fi.
Oh, yeah,
already.
No, totally. It's not a new technology.
As in, I think Google are just branding it as a way of like, it's something new, but in reality, it does exist. But these routers are like gaming routers. That's what they're termed. That's the term that companies are coining around the world. Like, this is a gaming router because it can intelligently switch between Wi-Fi and how the bands work and how it can intelligently speak to your computer rather than other computers around there.
And it gives you a competitive advantage when you're shooting.
Well, if you're realistically into gaming, you would not go on Wi-Fi anyway. You would plug it into your router like I have done, even though I'm about 1.5 meter away from my router. I get fantastic Wi-Fi signal, but I've still routed a wire above my door into the router in order to get the best latency possible. So, yeah, I mean.
Well, this is a convenient segue into the next part. There's a new Google Chromecast as well, which comes with an optional Ethernet port, which everyone is happy about because I've got a Chromecast and sometimes, you lose signal because it's working over Wi-Fi. But this comes with an Ethernet port. It's a new version that's called Chromecast Ultra, which allows you to stream in 4K and HDR.
That's very sexy.
Very sexy. And this also links back, handily, if you've got any money left in your bank account, to Google Home. So this is how you can wirelessly, with your voice, control third-party apps like Spotify or Netflix. So you could say, play the next episode of Narcos, and it will just go bing, supposedly. How that works.
We are running out of time for this, but I think we have one last thing to talk about in terms of Google.
We do.
Tell me about Daydream.
Daydream is already sort of an app. I don't know how to describe it. Yeah. Probably an app for VR, basically. Google is slightly late to the VR game, the consumer VR game.
I think VR might be a thing where you should be late. I think the late arrivals will do better.
Yeah, I mean, it's well priced. Daydream View, it's called, is a headset that you put, they hope, the shiny new Pixel phone that you've just bought into. Right. So it's just a headset to put your phone in. So it's £69.
And it's like a fancy version of cardboard.
Yes, exactly.
It's like the Gear VR. It's just a holder for a phone. Could you put somebody else's phone in there?
At the moment, I don't know. They said that there would be compatibility with phones from their sort of partners coming out within the next few months, but I believe at the moment it will only work and work best with Pixel. But I mean, it's just a headset. It will wirelessly connect to your phone without you having to do anything, which is quite cool. It's just another barrier to somebody being bothered to do it, is having to set it up and fiddle around with it. And it comes with a little controller as well, which has like a little touchpad and its directional sensors as well. So, I mean, but some of the demos they showed were quite lame, but it is just sort of, you know.
VR always looks lame when you're not experiencing it.
Exactly.
It's the most unpresentable technology.
It'd be cool for watching, you know, like.
Narcos again?
Yeah. It's just because it's the example they used.
It's your favourite program.
I'm a sucker. I do quite like that program. But yeah, you can do that as well. If you buy the phone, they'll probably try and flog you a headset.
So, when is all this stuff out? Last thing.
So, Pixel, Christopher, I think I'm right, 20th of October. I think for Pixel in the UK, then if you're in the UK, you can't get Google Home yet. The guy said, I think the quote was, it was coming soon, I hope.
Yeah,
which
didn't
fill the room of journalists with much hope. Chromecast Ultra, I believe, is out at the same time as Pixel, but I might be wrong there.
I think it's November.
Daydream View is November as well. Yeah. So by the end of the year, Three of those five products will be out in the UK.
And you will have no money left.
And you will have no money.
This is exciting. Well, we'll have to stop it there. We're going to have a... Oh, I should ask a question first. And considering how little we talked about Daydream, maybe this is the wrong one. But do you think... Are you a Daydream believer?
Mm-hmm.
Or is this Google's nightmare? Henry Burrell.
I'm going to go Daydream believer, just about.
Good. And Christopher Massians?
Daydream believer.
Daydream believer. I'm going to say Google's nightmare because I'm always thinking about privacy. That's my main obsession.
Because you've got something to hide.
Obsession. I have nothing to hide. That is a terrible way of looking at privacy. With that...
Your privacy.
We can have a short gap. And then we're going to talk about Pokemon. Welcome back. Christopher Manassians. Let's talk Pokemon. Pokemon Go is, I understand, from Cool Kids... quite the latest trend. So if I know about it, clearly it's died a death. So what's the latest word on the Pokemon Go street?
So first of all, actually, Pokemon is declining in user base, I must say. Even though a lot of people have heard it, a lot less people are actually playing it now. I am one of the cool kids, as you like to say.
You're definitely still a cool kid.
Thank you. Still plays Pokemon. And so, yeah, Pokemon, or should I say Niantic, the makers behind Pokemon, have released a new accessory. That is a wearable accessory that sits on your wrist, as you would expect. And it costs £34.99 in terms of pounds. And it...
In terms of pounds.
No, because £34.99 like? Could be dollars.
What does it look like?
In terms of looks.
So it looks exactly like a little Pokeball,
yeah,
but mixed with Star Trek. That's like how I like to see it.
It's got the point to it.
It's got the point to it, right, exactly. Okay. See, you got that.
It looks like little Google Maps.
Is it Street View pin?
Oh, is that on purpose? Is it meant to look like a pin?
I don't know. That's actually a good question. I
used to call my son Google Maps because when he was little, his head came to a point. His head looked like a sort of...
You're such a nerd.
That's amazing.
Anyway, so you spend, was it $34.99?
Yeah, exactly.
$34.99 on this thing. What does it do that your phone cannot?
Okay, so it is almost like, in my opinion, the way you see like an Apple Watch. It aids you.
Oh, I love it. I love Apple Watch.
So it aids the operation of your phone. So in this respect, it doesn't replace Pokemon Go on your phone. Right. It just helps you play it with a little bit more ease. So the way it connects is via Bluetooth. So you will need Bluetooth activated. So some people are like, what about my battery that's going to run down the battery even more? You'd be right in thinking that. Even
Pokemon Go is already a battery killer.
Exactly. So this is why the wearable is actually aimed to reduce battery usage. And you might be like, wow, how is that going to happen if it's using Bluetooth as well? Well, essentially, you can now play Pokemon Go with the phone's display switched off. Normally, when you do that, it shuts down the Pokemon Go app and you can't catch Pokemon, you can't fill up on your items at Pokestops, and you can't track the distance for hatching your eggs or walking with your buddy to get some candy.
Has it got a screen on it underneath the...
So no, it hasn't got a screen. So
what? Does it work?
So that's the thing, which is quite intriguing, is that all it does is connect to your app initially, and once it's connected, and it's connected via Bluetooth, you can turn off the phone's display, and then interact with your wearable only. Now, it does have some sort of limiting functions that if you're catching Pokemon, it's going to eat through your Pokeballs. It does. You can't see the map of where you're walking.
You don't want to let anybody eat your Pokeballs.
Exactly. Honestly, you'd be surprised. Like, you can eat through them quite quickly.
I'm quite ignorant about this. How could you catch a Pokemon without looking at the screen of your phone?
So, good question. So you press the button. There's like one single multifunctional button on the wearable device. You press it when it lights up. I think the color is green. It vibrates and has a green little LED. And that signifies that there's a Pokemon nearby that you've previously caught. Let's say a Pidgey. And you press the button. It activates the catching screen. It then vibrates in white to say that it's currently trying to catch the Pokemon. If it successfully catches the Pokemon, it then goes multicolor, so it's green, yellow, red, rainbow color.
So you don't have to look at your phone throughout
exactly.
this whole process. So if I'm walking around and I think there might be Pokemon on that grassy knoll.
But it tells you there's a Pokemon on the grassy knoll.
It tells you if you're walking past it.
If you're nearby to
a certain color, right?
Yeah, so it just
sounds really confusing.
So it is quite confusing. It's quite hard to explain, but normally
I
on the
there
app.
There's some skill in catching. I've watched Lewis doing there Pokemon is. Catching, and he's sort of the way he swipes the screen.
Yeah.
He says this is more likely to catch. Yeah.
I think the skill is blind devotion to the app.
Well, this is what I want to say because isn't this exposing how little there is to this game?
Well, that's the thing. This is why it eats through your Pokeballs because. Okay, the reason why it consumes or why it takes up so many Pokeballs is because I don't know how else to say it.
No, don't worry.
The reason why is because a lot of people have been reporting a low catch rate. So normally, if it's a Pidgey, you'd throw it, you throw a Pokeball at it, and you'd most likely catch it because it's just a Pidgey.
Yeah.
With the wearable device, a lot of people are saying you're not actually catching it. It actually keeps fleeing. So it's a bit of a hit and miss because if I ever got the device, which I'm tempted to get it, I would never use it to catch Pokemon because I think my success rate of catching Pokemon through the actual phone will be much greater than through the wearable device. And because getting Pokeballs can be quite scarce in certain areas or for people who don't live in a city, then you might want to avoid using that feature of catching Pokemon on the fly without looking at your phone.
Yeah.
So you might be thinking, so what's the point of getting this? Well, people who play quite a lot, like myself, will use it in order to track their distance covered. So in other words, you have eggs within the game. If you hatch the eggs, you get some cool Pokemon or you get rarer Pokemon. And normally you'd have to keep your phone on all the time and track your distance to hatch these eggs.
With GPS
and everything. Okay. But with its wearable device, you can save the battery. You could be, I don't know, walking to the station without having your phone open and you can still be tracking this distance. So this is why I would personally get it for that reason alone.
So you're tracking the distance.
Yeah.
And if you had the phone closed, the screen off,
yeah.
You wouldn't be gaining the steps.
Exactly.
So it is like an Apple Watch.
It is like an Apple Watch. So that's why a lot of people are saying that it's quite good. But in the flip side of it, other people are saying, well, you're paying to win almost because you're paying $34.99 to have a distinct advantage over people who don't have this.
Yeah. I was thinking, yeah, they have to monetize it somehow, yeah. Don't they?
So,
I'm not being snide when I ask this, but would you actually wear it in public as well?
It does.
I think it might be a barrier to people like wearing it to work because it does look like a Pokeball.
Totally. Yeah, totally. I mean, I think they should have made it one like a cool Pokeball that they have, and the other one should have been a very discreet, like just a normal.
Oh, come on! If you're gonna do this stuff, you've got to go full core onto it.
Yeah. Well,
like you remember when they had the Harry Potter, and then they brought out the special Harry Potter adult covers, where it was just like a really sort of moody black and white shot of a wizard's hat. And it was I'm looking at my adult book. It's like, come on! If you're gonna play Pokemon.
But there is a lot of people who do. I mean, I don't have any sort of shame of playing it. Like, I'll be more than happy to say.
Yeah, yeah.
But a lot of people do, as I think Henry's trying to point out, that they are more conscious about playing game. Forget about Pokemon, playing games. If I went up to a girl and I'm like, yeah, I'm top 3% in Counter-Strike in the world.
I've eaten all my
Pokeballs. Let me talk about my Pokeballs.
No.
Anyway, but the point is, it does bring that barrier, and you're being totally correct about that. I think it has a little barrier about
the
that.
Money side of it worries me a little bit because this is a classic example of mobile game financial thinking. Mm-hmm. You have a game that's free and people are willing to download it because it's free. And these are the same people that will have refused to download another game that I, for example, might have recommended to them, which costs $1.99.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll go, oh, no, I'll get this free game. And then this accessory comes out, which is $34.99, which is the sort of price that they used to charge for SNES games back when games were expensive.
Or Pokemon on DS or whatever.
Yeah. And it's like, and now you presume you're also going to pay to buy Pokeballs?
Yeah, you can usually collect them for free, but you can purchase stuff in game. You don't have to, but if you do purchase stuff in game, it can help you level up quicker. And it's the same thing with this. I think it's the same sort of principle. If you want to level up quicker, if you want to have a better experience in sort of like quoted, quotation marks, then yeah, you can have a better experience at $34.99.
Am I right in saying that this was also a delayed release? It should have been out a couple of months ago.
Yeah, I think they were holding out for... I personally think they were holding out for the Apple event. Because as you well, if some of our listeners remember or have seen it, then at the Apple event, there was like a tie between Niantic and Pokemon Go Plus, and they said this is going to be launching. I think they were holding out for that personally. But yeah, it should have been out sooner. And to be honest, right now, I even looked online to try and buy it. It's sold out.
Isn't it?
And if you want to buy it from eBay or Amazon, it's like double or triple the price because people have bought it. They know the demand. They know that people are willing to pay.
I think it kind of shows that Pokemon was, even for the companies that made it, was just a completely unprecedented success.
Yeah.
But for a very limited period of time, I think you might accept. Yeah. I know you still play it.
No, yeah.
But I think millions and millions of people were playing this game.
And now they're not.
They should have had it out when the game came out. They would have sold so many more
if
they didn't have the stock problems. But I think I know a lot of people play mobile games, and I'm not saying that they're unpopular, but I kind of think that for most people, these are games that are really, really exciting for a couple of months and then drop off again. I hope not, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case for Super Mario Run as well.
Well, yeah. And if you have a game like that, then the idea of buying a £35 accessory that will only function with that game.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking to you again, Christopher. Yeah. Could I reprogram this device so that it flashes when I've got an incoming call or something?
No. As far as anyone's aware, you can't do that unless potentially you could hack it of some sort.
You could jailbreak it or something. Yeah,
yeah. But yeah, you could somehow hack into it. But other people have said that if it's only connecting via Bluetooth, then surely there must be some sort of hack or some sort of bypass that you can get a different wearable device that connects via Bluetooth and do the same functionalities.
Yeah, because essentially it's only one.
Yeah, well, not even that. Even if you had a Moto 360, for example, you had already a wearable device and you didn't want another one. Yeah. It has one button, which is a multifunctional device. If somehow you could program an app that would work on the Moto 360 in order to work via Bluetooth with the Pokemon Go app, it could be possible.
Yeah.
But it is very complicated. So yeah.
Well, this is very exciting. We'll have to stop it there, unfortunately. We'll quickly go around the room. Pokemon Yo Plus or Pokemon No Plus? Henry Burrell.
Pokemon No Plus for me.
Why do you hate Pokemon?
I actually really like Pokemon.
No, you don't.
I do.
Don't lie. Christopher Manassian.
With 139 in his Pokedex, yes.
That's a Pokemon Yo.
Yo, Plus. That's Pokemon.
I'm going to say Pokemon, I don't know.
Commit.
Pokemon No Plus. There you go, No Plus. Get an Apple Watch. And with that, we will close this nuptials...
Google Special.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Google Special
edition of the UK Tech Weekly Podcast. Feel free to get in touch, let us know your thoughts and opinions, and to pay us for advertising if you want to. That would be good. Because remember, we target the millennial demographic. They love us. You can tweet us on any of these topics using the handle @UKTechPodcast. You can email us on editor@idgu.co.uk. We'll be back next week with more informed opinion on the hottest topics in tech. And if that sounds like something you'd like, you can find us on Acast, iTunes, SoundCloud, and other podcast sources. And don't forget to subscribe, comment, like us, and tell your friends. Until then, say goodbye, guys.
Goodbye,
hashtag
guys.
Goodbye.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.